Wild Hearts early impressions have arrived, and Insomniac's Wolverine is targeting an M rating. All this and more on this week's episode of Checkpoint. And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show, bringing you important news and breaking down big stories in the game industry. I'm one of your hosts, James Walmer, with my incredible co-host, Vincent DeSantis. Thank you, audio listeners. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Please hit us with a rating on audio platforms and subscribe. It helps us out a lot. What else is going on the channel? Audio issues.
Audio issues, baby. That's right. You heard it here first. I just recorded 25 minutes of a podcast that didn't record. So here we are, making up some of that lost time in the next 35 minutes maximum here. So we're going to get it done. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. I'm so sorry, but James and I are now experts on the topic at hand. So we will be able to inform you in a speedy, but also in-depth manner. James, I want to talk about Wild Hearts right friggin' now. We're going to talk about it again real quick, but what do we got here? Wild Hearts impressions have come out. Break it down.
Wild Hearts impressions come out. Big thing, big pros is that a few things that some people like SkillUp like better than Monster Hunter. The music is one of the best parts. Navigation is one of the best hearts. Learning how to set up shortcuts and glide and like chasing a monster is almost as fun as fighting them.
Yep.
Totally rules. A little bit grindy. Not necessarily a bad thing. Feels tight. But the big but is that as you reach later zones in the game, it looks way uglier. The day-night cycle makes the game look so much worse, and it's just so poorly optimized on PC right now.
Yeah.
Borderline unplayable.
Right. Yeah, and we were looking at reviews as well. We pulled up Metacritic and stuff, and we were scoring a lot of 8s and stuff. I believe it has an 86% of critics recommend on OpenCritic. It was getting an 80 score, or Metascore, Metacritic 80.
Metascore.
Yeah. OpenCritic, 86% of critics recommend. James, when you first saw Wild Hearts premiere at the PlayStation Showcase a while ago, what were your initial thoughts of it? Because you're a Monster Hunter fan. You are a huge
Monster Hunter fan. Monster Hunter through and through. And I saw Wild Hearts, who's this slick new kid on the block, fresh, like, transfer into the class, you know, while Monster Hunter's been the dude. He's been the dude for the past few years. Now the new kid on the block, stealing all the thunder. What the fuck's up with that?
Couldn't tell you.
I thought it was a little gimmicky. Why the hell is there building? I didn't think it was going to do much for the gameplay, but a lot of people seem to really like it. So I hope. I don't know if I hope it's good. I kind of hope it's bad.
Do you like the monster like design in here, where like things are growing out of them? It looks like they're part of the ground and part of the earth.
Not as much.
You don't like it? Okay. I don't.
No.
Since I've never played a Monster Hunter game, it's hard for me to like compare it and contrast. Obviously, this has its own art style and kind of environment. You know.
They just look a little generic.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the one on the cover is like a wolf. It's just a wolf with branches growing out of it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of these. Like, there's a big mossy pig. There's a porcupine with ice instead of quills.
They're just giant versions of
animals. There's a big fire ape. Okay. Yeah, just giant animals, which is not interesting to me.
No. No, so, SkillUp, again, just points out that this is also totally playable in solo because he's a solo player. That some people complain about that with Monster Hunter, is that it's... Not that it's bad to push you in a squad to play with other people, but if it's not able to be done solo, it's kind of a detriment to it, which I feel like is a problem with like Destiny, for instance, right now, of like, there's some stuff that is just impossible to do alone. You can't do it alone. And there's bad ways of finding people.
Bummer.
It's a bummer. Yeah. Cause you're not able to do all the content, but, SkillUp also compares this game to Monster Hunter Rise other than Monster Hunter World. I don't know in what sense he's comparing this to. I haven't played either game.
Monster Hunter Rise is faster, much faster.
Okay. So that must be the comparison then.
Yeah.
Direct.
Mm-hmm. The movement is much better too.
Yeah. He says the combat feels tight. We talked about the game being grindy, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's typical for this genre.
Yeah.
To be a little grindy.
You were talking about going on a hunt in Rise to get an armor set after like doing it over and over again, right?
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
It happens. You just like get the materials from the fight to make the to make the armor, make the weapons afterwards. So it makes sense.
Right. And then also, I think this is interesting to me too, that chasing a fleeing monster is almost as fun as fighting the fleeing monster, which is cool. That means the movement has to keep up with a chasing monster, right? Like, it has to be quick enough to feel good to do that. So that's great. That feels just as good as fighting it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check out Wild Hearts. It's coming soon. Reviews are dropping throughout the day.
Maybe don't check it out on PC yet.
Yeah, PC seems like mixed reviews on Steam, right?
It's got mixed reviews. 40% are positive.
Right, which is not great. But also Monster Hunter Rise has mixed reviews on Steam as well.
Yeah, which are not performance related. So
interesting. Okay. I don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So that is that. Going on into the clip is right here. Here we go. Insomniac's Wolverine game is reportedly targeting a mature rating. This comes from Video Games Chronicle. According to Giant Bomb reporter Jeff Grubb, who shared supposed details on the in-development project during a live stream on Thursday. Hard R is what they're going for. That's one of the concepts I've heard, Grubb said. I think an M-rated Wolverine could work. I think an M-rated superhero game could work. And this is probably the right character. He added later, they will also avoid having any links to anything that evokes the Fox movies. They want it to stand completely on its own. I was trying to nail down the setting, and I've heard it'll start before he joins the X-Men, which also makes sense for a Wolverine game. Which, James, first of all, I want to point out there, I think this is great. I think Insomniac does a fantastic job focusing on a character, you know, and then digging into that character. I don't really want... There's too many team-up games happening right now with Gotham Knights, Suicide Squad, Avengers just getting, like, canned, like... We don't really know the future of these like big...
Spider-Man 2 is a team-up game.
That's true. But so is Ratchet and Clank. But you only play as one character in Ratchet and Clank.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't, but you do.
Yeah, because you use Clank.
There are sections where you play as Clank.
Yeah, that's true. Or like going through small areas, you know, you can like... Right. It'll force you into him. Yeah, that's true. Jeff also says, maybe another surprising thing for me is that I've heard two different dates for this game. I've heard as early as fall 2024, which would be wild. Insomniac is putting out Spider-Man 2 this fall. I've also heard internally that they're still very much talking about 2025. So let's not be surprised if that happens.
But if anyone can pull off releasing two major AAA massive games in back-to-back years, it's Insomniac. The game will be a standalone title directed by Brian Horton and Cameron Christian, who are the creative leads on Spider-Man Miles Morales. Announcing the Wolverine game, Insomniac's head of franchise strategy and studio relations, Ryan Schneider, said, in the vein of our Spider-Man games, our goal here is to not only respect the DNA of what makes the character so popular, but also look for opportunities to make it feel fresh and truly reflect the Insomniac spirit. Even though Marvel's Wolverine is very, very early in development, from what I've seen of its emotional narrative and cutting-edge gameplay, no pun intended, I assume, the team is already creating something truly special.
I got a couple things to ask you about this, James.
Okay.
What's the perfect setting for a Wolverine game?
No fucking clue.
Really?
Maybe like...
Canada.
A small... Yeah.
Woods?
Woods. Like a small like lodging town, maybe. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's got to have some divey-ass bar that you frequent.
Yeah. I don't want it to be like... I want it to be the opposite of Spider-Man, where in Spider-Man, you're swinging around and you have J. Jonah Jameson in your ear talking about like, we hate Spider-Man, blah, blah, blah. I want it to be Wolverine's like, he has interactions with people that most of his interactions are people that think he's like a bum, you know, like literally just going to the bar and stuff, like drinking. But like, what's the moment-to-moment gameplay in Wolverine?
I think it's going to be smaller. I think it's going to be a lot more interiors, a lot more inside of smaller buildings. Mm-hmm. I can see, like, I don't want to say dialogue options, but a heavier focus on person-to-person dialogue.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, curious how they balance that with the combat, what that's going to feel like, because Wolverine is much heavier. Like, he's fast, but he's got to feel, like, chunky.
He's also invincible. You know what I
mean? Like, he is also invincible.
He heals himself. Now, I mean... Like, what's the upgrade path going to look like? Is it slowly going to increase over time of like, oh, you can upgrade your self-healing. Maybe you can heal faster. Because you're not going to be bandaging yourself up or like taking shots of anything to like keep you going. Like,
Right.
It's a self-heal. Like, I wonder how that's going to play out. I'm very excited to see. I'm sure Insomniac can do that.
I'm sure they're still trying to figure that out.
Maybe. I mean, even claw-wise, weapon-wise, like, you have your claws. That's it.
You probably Spider-Man, pick stuff up.
Yeah. Spider-Man's got all the gadgets. Stuff. But what would be like those special attacks? It's like Wolverine going to do a spin attack where emotional he jumps in the trauma. Air. Yeah. Must be. Villains for the game, James?
I'm guessing Sabretooth.
It feels right. It feels like the smaller story scale. But we've seen a Sabretooth story, you know? Like, will they do a dog?
What do you mean?
In the movies, they've done Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. In Spider-Man, they did Dr. Negative, or Mr. Negative. Dr. Negative.
Yeah.
Which was, like, off the beaten path. Not an original character, right?
Germ.
Wasn't... Not original.
Not an original character. Not original character.
Like, I feel like Insomniac would want to bring a slightly obscure character to the forefront of this instead of having like a predictable protagonist.
I just don't
predictable
know who antagonist. Wolverine, who Logan interacts with before, like any of the X-Men stuff. You know what I mean? I feel like Sabretooth is the OG, like new Logan before, or I guess like not before, but like new Logan.
Yeah.
Prior to him joining the X-Men. And then he like started to meet like Magneto and all the other like Juggernaut and all those guys.
Do you remember in the bar?
Juggernaut would be sick though.
Juggernaut would be awesome. Yeah. Do you remember in the teaser trailer at the bar? There's a license plate at the bar with like numbers on it, and people related it to the Wolverine. It's a Wolverine comic book, and there's mentions to this comic book all over the place, and it's a Hulk and Wolverine team up book. But I mean, I don't really think they're gonna do a Hulk. They're not putting Hulk in this game, I don't think. Like, maybe that'd be crazy. Like,
that would be crazy
because a Hulk,
because they're both invincible.
Totally. But a Hulk game, I'd want Wolverine could do the small scale, like interior, like stab people. Hulk, you're busting through like everything. Like, you have to make these environments that are like totally destructible but also fun to play as Logan. Like, that would be weird. It would be a weird. Could be awesome though. Could be like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate. Just go for it. I don't know.
Could be really cool. I have no idea what it's gonna look like,
guys.
Do you think it's gonna be driving?
Driving in this game?
Yeah. Do you think it's gonna be driving? How's Logan getting around?
He's a fast runner. He runs.
You're right.
I don't know.
You think we're gonna be sprinting everywhere? It's gonna be a dead sprint from point A to point B.
I bet you can drive. I mean, we already know we get to wear a cowboy hat, so he probably has a truck, you know, let's face it. If you guys want to know more about Logan and the Wolverine game by Insomniac, you stay right here at Strictly Casual. We appreciate you guys so much for watching. If you want to watch this entire podcast episode, you can go on podcast platforms and type in Checkpoint by Strictly Casual. It is a blue box with a yellow checkpoint right in there. And this is episode 149. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace out. But bam. James, would you like to talk a little bit about Microsoft Game Pass cannibalism?
Yeah, I'd really like to.
I think we should.
I really think we should. I was bummed when you were like, let's skip it.
Give me the...
Let me give you the TLDR. Earlier, Phil Spencer said, Game Pass is actually better for sales of games on the service. But then...
Hold on, wait, let's clarify... Let me clarify that a little bit. He says that because of Game Pass, full game sales outside of Game Pass are better. Continue. That's what his quote means.
Actually, into more sales.
Yeah. What do you read? What are you thinking?
No, gamers find things to play based on what everyone else is playing. I don't know. I don't read that in the statement.
Okay. Sure.
I don't read that in this statement. I'm seeing this and say people are, the games are getting exposure and then people are buying them outright.
Got it.
Whether that's on their platform or on other platforms.
Sure.
I think he's just speaking generally, which like to some extent, yes, that does happen when it comes to other platforms. And that's the key difference is that when it comes to other platforms, that is the case. People see Hi-Fi Rush on Game Pass and they don't have Game Pass and because they're on PlayStation or they're on Steam.
Yeah.
And they buy it on those platforms because they want to experience it. Where people on Microsoft platforms, people who have Game Pass Ultimate on PC or people who have Xboxes, don't feel inclined to do that whatsoever because they just play it on Game Pass. It's not a long game.
Yeah.
So they just play it there. And so as a result, like any game that, so it's counterintuitive to any sort of exclusivity deals that Microsoft might have, because why would you make a game exclusive if it's ultimately going to reduce the actual sales of that title and it's going to support those businesses less?
Yeah.
I don't know if...
like, it's like, more of, why would Activision Blizzard want to get acquired to have their games exclusive when in the long run they're going to be selling less if they're exclusive to
this platform? Which, in this report, Activision Blizzard does show their hesitancy to join because of this fact alone. And I mean, not alone, but like because of this as a major contributing factor, which like it seems like they have every right to be skeptical because of the fact that it does cause a decline in base game sales 12 months following their addition to Game Pass.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So like we talked about Hi-Fi Rush launching as an example of this, of Hi-Fi Rush shadow dropped onto Game Pass. And I mean, first of all, a lot of people talking about Hi-Fi Rush.
A lot of exposure
because people that have access to Game Pass have it and are ready to download it and ready to go. It also launched on Steam right away for $30-$40, something like that. And it stayed in the Steam top chart. So I think this is an example of what Phil's saying, of that when you put a game on Game Pass, it gives it more exposure and it allows to be sold on other platforms. The thing that doesn't make sense to me is that, let's say Call of Duty, for instance, because they said Call of Duty won't be exclusive for the next 5 years. Let's say it does, right? Will that cause Xbox to be the number one console because Call of Duty is always the number one selling game of the year, like that sort of thing? Like, will it sell consoles because people are trying to play that game, or will people pass up on it in for other things?
I don't think the pull is that strong. I think the only people, we're at this point in the console cycle too, which is everyone who has, for the most part, everyone, especially now that they aren't scarce or as scarce as they used to be, I feel like everyone who wanted one of these consoles has one.
Sure. I have a fun GameStop story to tell you at the end of the episode.
Okay. And the only audience that would be on that sort of fence might come at the, first of all, the Activision Blizzard deal has to happen so that Call of Duty is now exclusive to the platform, and then the newcomers at that point would have to weigh the decision of, do I play all these games on PlayStation or do I play Call of Duty and commit to that? It's hard to do that once we're already deep in the cycle and people have already made those decisions. I don't think they're going to go back and either sell one platform for the other or pick up another. I mean, it's easier to do when you have a $300 Series S.
Yeah.
But
you're right. It would be easier to onboard at the beginning of a console cycle, whether that be PS6 and Xbox, whatever the crap. Like that would be, if before that cycle, they can say that these games are going to be exclusive to Xbox, I think you see a lot of turnover there. Like
I think you would too.
At the beginning of a generation. I'm always surprised how much Call of Duty sells and how much, like, there's a subsect of people that play games that only play like Call of Duty. Slash another yearly release of something like FIFA and Call of Duty and NBA might be the only things you're buying for the year, you know, and you're there day one. And that is a huge piece of people that play games. And that would be, it wouldn't be surprising to me if that audience is absolutely captured in this and been like, okay, yeah, I can only play these games on Xbox. Sure. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll go over. It's nothing to me. Whereas like, I feel like really integrated in the PlayStation, like I've done it for years and stuff. I don't want to like switch over as my main console to Xbox, but like maybe that'll change if there's games that are I want to be playing over there exclusively. I'd rather do both than to like do one or the other, but we're in a position where like that's interesting to us besides most people like just wanting a single console. Yeah, it's fun to think about. But anyways, confirmation that Game Pass cannibalizes game sales for Xbox when games will go on there. Crazy.
Yeah.
James, I also had this week too. Cheesy, actually. Shout out Cheesy, friend of the show. He's been on. He sent this video to me. He said, Vincent, you got to watch this. You got to watch this video. It's like super interesting. So I added it on here too. And you watched it this morning, right?
I did.
So you're fresh on it. You're super fresh on it. I watched it like early last week. Give me a rundown here of what this video's like meat is. I'm recommending you guys watch this video.
Yeah, it's essentially saying that they're just saying the development of the game is problematic.
Well, it's about Atomic Heart. This video is about Atomic Heart, the game.
Yes, it is about Atomic Heart, the game. It's released by this company called, what is it, Mudslide. Yeah, hit me with the developer. Essentially, it's a Russian developer who's making this game about, like, it's essentially like a Wolfenstein, but kind of like a Wolfenstein, but Soviet. Yep. Like, it's all Russian.
USSR.
Russian studio. Yep, USSR. Russian studio. It's set to release February 21st. It's by... it's phrased as BioShock in the USSR. It describes the events of the alternative history of the 50s when the Soviet Union emerged from the Second World War scientifically and technologically advanced, reaching the peak of development with cold nuclear fusion and intelligent robots. It's so far been universally appraised. It looks gorgeous.
This is such a funny...
it's gotten a lot of gameplay.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
I think so. It looks really cool.
It looks really, really cool. It looks really pretty. It looks like it's got fun powers and fun like weapons to mess around with. But there's a lot of ties to a lot of like Russian organizations through like some of the development team that just looks a little sketchy, like in terms of I don't know. I don't want to say like, I don't know if it'd be accurate to say propaganda adjacent.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm watching the video, right? And I think that the person that created this video, scripted this video out, had done a lot of research, in my opinion. Like, it seems like it's an informed video.
Right.
I don't know if all the connections he makes are perfect. I think some of them are a little bit stretches, like some of the companies that some people are tied to, and then he like goes into a certain person working at the company who like used to talk to this person, so there might be ties there. That it gets a little weak to me. Like you can make that judgment for yourself if you watch the video. But the thesis of the video is that this game is slightly propaganda, I would say, for Russia. There's a sentiment of Russia is better, I guess. But this is, to me,
The
same ways that Call of Duty does that for the U.S. military. You know, like, what's the difference there? It's like, you're going to make...
Which is problematic. Which, totally. Like, the way Call of Duty is... Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But also, like, I don't know, because games like this, it's... Because you're playing the antagonistic... perspective, like you're not praising it, like you're actually against the USSR, and like that's the one thing that falls through for me in this video. I'm like, wait a second, but like you're fighting like every you're fighting this entire system,
right,
as the player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also like, out of pure skepticism, just looked up the video, and there's a lot of pushback on internet forums.
Really? Okay.
This TLDR says, arguments made are not solid. This is a breakdown of arguments made in the video discussed and not meant to sway your opinion. Only to check the validity of claims made. Arguments in the video are weak, disingenuous, or misleading. An argument can be based on the nature of business based out of China or Russia, but this argument has not been made in the video.
Okay. I would say...
The video tries to point out to sketchy things like... dissociating from being a Russian studio and like choosing to move to Cyprus, and or like, oh, it's called Mundfish is the name of the studio, but like, say, trying to move away from saying like, hey, we're Russians creating this game, and saying, oh, we're an international studio headquartered in Cyprus. The thing I don't like from the one I'll give credit to is Mundfish said like, we aren't interested in commenting on politics or religion. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I am kind of like, come on. Like, you can't make a game about the USSR.
And your game's a comment if you're not making a comment.
Right. Your game. Yeah. You can't hide behind being apolitical.
Right. Inherently, it's a little bit political.
It has to be. But this, I think, I don't know. I think it's really worth. I think it's really worth looking into, like, the arguments against it too. Like, 100%. I'm looking at this for the first time, but it does seem a little like the video seems a little edgelord.
Totally, I agree.
In the way, like, especially, yeah.
I found it interesting. I don't necessarily agree with everything that he was saying. And I think it is good to be reading the points that are against it as well, because I think that's important. Very important. But anyways, there's controversy surrounding Atomic Heart. And if you're interested, this seems to be a impetus of controversy.
Good word.
It's a great word. I've been trying to use it more often. It's a fun one.
What does it mean? Can you define that for me?
When I say impetus, that's a great question. It's the start. It's the beginning. With the point of starting impetus? Let's see. Nope, I'm wrong. That's not even the right word.
This person said the video is a huge nothing burger. Okay. That's hella funny. Yeah, it's
driving
like also,
force. It's driving force.
Like, I think the biggest ick that I got from this whole video is when he starts it and he says, if you just bought Hogwarts Legacy and
that was
like
huge
watch egg. Joe Rogan and
yeah
want to just play Call of Duty, please click away right now. I was like all right, dog. Like,
biting words from the start, bro.
I can't take you seriously.
I mean, my man has like 5,000 subs and his video got 2 million views, probably blow up way more than he was expecting.
Right.
You know, he got a lot more eyes on that, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is fascinating. Speaking of controversial games, James, you have anything else to say about Atomic Heart?
No. I have nothing else to say about Atomic Heart.
I did a little trip to GameStop this week.
Okay, I can't wait to hear about it.
Okay, so my girlfriend's visiting right now, right, for Valentine's Day. She's hanging out, and, you know, she's here for the week, and we were going to watch a movie the other night, right? But instead, she's on TikTok. She's on TikTok. She's like, do you have this? Like, do you have this Hogwarts Legacy game? Do you have Harry Potter? She's a huge diehard Harry Potter fan.
Oh, my God.
So now I've hit the moral.
Oh, my God.
Like, what
do
I do?
The fork in the road.
The fork in the road.
Yeah.
It's like I've said my stance on the game before. If you're gonna buy the game and play it, you're gonna buy the game and play it. If you're not, you're gonna not and do it. I went to GameStop and I picked up Hogwarts Legacy for PS5. Okay, so that we could play it. And I don't know. I'm feeling a little. I don't know about it myself. Okay, I'm feeling a little morally gray about it. I don't know. But it made her really happy. That was great. That makes me happy too. So, anyways, we popped that. I gotta talk about GameStop. We get there. First off, GameStop's super crowded on a Tuesday night. I was like,
what the fuck?
And this is a GameStop that is not ever crowded. I've been there a couple times. It is empty every single time.
Is it the one we went to?
Yeah, same one. Yeah, in the, okay. Yeah. Empty all the time. This guy is at the front desk buying a PS5. He's buying Hogwarts Legacy, God of War Ragnarok, Forspoken. He's getting like every Holy single shit. PlayStation exclusive. He's stacked up. My man's got the games in one arm, the PlayStation in the other, grinning, dude. Like a 40, 50-year-old man. Like smile ear to ear. Wearing a full tracksuit. It was awesome. It was worth the trip just to see that. I was like, I'm really happy for this guy. I don't know his story. I don't know what's going on here, but just like... Gaiman, baby, that's awesome. He's happy about it. Good for him. He's gonna have a great night.
So this is what Gaiman's all about.
So that's my GameStop story, but it also ties into what I've been playing this week, and that is I haven't actually played Hogwarts Legacy. I've watched my girlfriend play the tutorial of Hogwarts Legacy, which, no slight to her, it took 2 hours. We're just past the tutorial now. This game's massive. It is huge, and the tutorial is extremely, extremely long. It is a slow start. Maybe that's because I didn't have the thing in my hand, like the controller in my hands, you know? But I did get to play a couple combat encounters that were really fun and way tighter than I thought it would be.
Whoa.
Like, way tighter. It was cool. Parry, dodging, there's full, like, comboing, and it's great. Felt good. And I don't know anything about Harry Potter, so
See, this is the moment that I actually, this is the moment that I actually wish I had, like, this is a Game Pass game for me. I want to try it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the moment where Game Pass could actually.
Yeah.
Like, boost sales.
Mm-hmm.
As if you had the platform to essentially run a demo of it.
Yeah. I think, well, I mean, this game sold crazy, dude.
PlayStation Premium, mm-hmm. Where are you at with the demos? I feel like this would be a perfect game to have on a PlayStation Premium demo.
Yeah. I want my demos to carry over progress, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to spend money to do this when I can't even play the games that I bought, you know? That's the hard part for me. And I know that's where they're trying to get you to. They're trying to get you to pay for a subscription and then just play a couple things here and there. You know, that's how they make money, which is fine. God bless them. That's how it goes. I don't know. But you brought up a good point because PlayStation Plus has a crazy February. They are bringing so many games to the extra February. And premium tier.
Allegedly. Not
no, they're confirmed. They're confirmed now, dude. Scarlet shit. Nexus, Horizon Forbidden West, The Quarry,
mm-hmm.
a lot of others to the extra tier. The $2 more than the essential tier.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Which is that to me, like this month's offerings are like what every month should be, or every other month at least should be. Huge heavy hitters for that price. I think this is a perfect enough time to wait for Horizon Forbidden West to make great sales and then bring it onto extra so that everybody can play it and be a good value there. I don't know, man. I want to see the other games as well. Are you looking at that too?
I'm trying to find them, but it's hard for me to.
If I go into our DMs, guys, are just full of this. Okay, we have Resident Evil 7, Borderlands 3, Tekken 7, Outriders, Ace Combat, Earth Defense Force 5, Okinaki, Forgotten City, The Legend of a Dragon, Wild Arms 2, Harvest Moon, Destroy All Humans. I mean, the big ones are, of course, Horizon, Quarry, Resident Evil 7, Borderlands 3, Tekken 7.
Yep.
Fantastic, dude.
That's insane. So much.
That is so much. Like, to me, this I would consider doing this because I wanted to play The Quarry, but I don't necessarily want to pay the $60 to play it. But, like, I would upgrade for a couple months to play that and something else.
100%.
It's not that much more than I'm spending right now on it. It's like I could upgrade $10 and get a couple months.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool.
So easy.
To circle back to Hogwarts real quick, digital data's in. Hogwarts Legacy's opening week was 56% bigger across Europe than Elden Ring. It's the biggest game launch outside of FIFA and Call of Duty since Red Dead Redemption 2. Backs up the theory that gamers are gravitating towards big brands at the moment. I don't think gamers are gravitating towards big brands at the moment. I think that big brands just inherently have a wider reach and get more eyes on people that don't play games regularly. Like, I think that people are picking up this game, Hogwarts, that are not playing games regularly. Also, probably don't know the discourse around it.
Yep. Well, they know the discourse around J.K. Rowling.
Absolutely. I mean, we even when picking it up, my girlfriend's like, "Oh yeah, F J.K. Rowling." Like, it's not buying this in support. That's for sure. That's for sure.
But are you?
It's up for debate. Up for debate.
Yeah. Go ahead. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Another thing that launched today was Destiny 2's Vidoc for Lightfall. I have not watched it yet, but I will be watching sometime during today, and I cannot. Wait, it's a 17-minute Vidoc. It's their longest one yet.
I want to come back to Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, jump back.
Jason Schreier thought it was just okay.
Okay.
He's like a non-Harry Potter person.
Neither am I.
And he was like, well, the combat is just like kind of dull. He thought like a lot of the stuff was like pretty dull outside of like Hogwarts Castle.
Cool.
Essentially, that's what I remember from.
I haven't played enough to know. I only have like four.
But you
like
the combat. He didn't like the combat.
Yeah, I like. I mean, I have the four basic.
There's only
spells
like four spells
in the whole game.
I think so.
Oh, I have all of them?
Aside from, like...
No way. There has to be more. Because, like, you have R2. Like, you have your quick R2, which is your quick blasts of stuff, right? And then if you hold R2, you can click XO triangle square for different spells. And you can slot different things into those, I think. I just have the four basic ones.
You have a lot of spells.
Okay.
A lot of spells. I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
Oh my God.
27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, all of those
and these are like,
combo.
These are not all damage. These are not all damage. These are like, there's transfiguration, there's which force, there's
helps,
control,
dude.
But there's also like utility. Like, oh, you know what? This includes. Like, one of these is a charmed bag that can be used to rescue and hold beasts.
Okay, so maybe not. Those maybe
allows
items.
You to see in darker areas or solve puzzles that need extra light.
Yeah,
that's... A brush that can be used to groom beasts.
Lumioso or
is one
crap.
Of these. What, like, but this includes, like, beast feed, which is just food to feed beasts.
I'm talking more like, you can levitate someone, slam them on the ground, hit them with a couple, and, like, that'll break their shield, and then you can hit them with stuff. Like, it's... For only having one hand, you know, and like, I was worried that it would just feel slow. I would just be doing like this over and over again. But like, you have a lot more, the abilities that they give you feels a lot more free. I also have not made it out of the castle.
26. 26 of them can be placed on your hotbars with a maximum of 16 slots.
Great. Cool. Yeah. I'm excited to play more, to be honest. It was fun. We'll see how it goes.
I want to try it out, but I just don't want to pay for it.
Totally understand. I got the disc so that my roommate could play too. Be
nice.
Pretty epic.
Because he has his PS5 too, right?
He does. He's currently playing... He just finished Spider-Man for the first time. And watching him play the end battle versus Doc Ock was awesome.
Dude, so good.
And so he's got... he's going to play Miles Morales next. Which is so exciting for me to see that too. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add? Anything you've been playing this week?
No. I jumped into God of War. I'm now sitting around like 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I just did the Nidhogg boss, the big like portal lizard.
Oh, cool fight.
Cool fight. Cool ass fight.
Yeah.
I didn't love the fight. Like, I hated how it was really hack slash 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 like the whole time.
Sure.
It just, I wish there was some more mechanics or something that drove it. A little quicker, felt like it was a lot of repetition, doing the same thing over and over again. But other than that, I really liked it.
Cool.
Really like this whole thing with Freya and Kratos, this dynamic about both being parents who have lost people.
I mean, Kratos kills her son. It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't want to say too much, but it's a great dynamic. Kratos is such a great character. I love all of the characters in the game.
Yeah, it's good stuff too,
and the environment's gorgeous. This little jungle is so sick.
And have you done the little thing where you like spin the bell in the well and it goes okay, cool. It's fun. It brings a whole new element to that world, a whole extra world on top of that world.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. I'm sure that's coming up. You must be close to that. Thank you guys so much for watching episode 149. James, I apologize dearly for our mishap at the beginning of this episode.
It is okay.
I think we saved it and had a great episode regardless.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Next week is our historic episode 150. I guess, what are we gonna do? We're gonna go streaking down the street or something like that, and we'll just, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That sounds great. So party up. We'll see you guys next week for episode 150. See you next time. Bye, guys.